Good afternoon, Juno. Welcome to our weekly show produced by the Black Awareness Association of Juno, also known as Juno BAA. I'm Christina Michelle Patterson, confidence coach, hypnotherapist, and member of Juno BAA. I'll be co-hosting today's show with Sarita Knoll, a fellow member of our community and of the BAA, and today we are discussing the history and importance of African-American authors and literature, especially in our school system. We have the honor of interviewing an expert in this area, our guest, Nakisha Wilson, an African-American librarian joining us via Zoom from Miami, Florida. Sarita, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself, and then we will hear from our guest, Ms. Nakisha Wilson.
Hi, my name is Sarita Knoll. I have a master's in English, and I am an accountant, so don't judge me too harshly for that. I also am a former educator, and so I'm really, really excited to connect with Nakisha Wilson to find out how we can strengthen our own community when it comes to incorporating Black literature and the Black experience into our education system here in town. Nakisha, will you introduce yourself?
Sure. Thank you for having me today. I'm Nakisha Wilson, and I am a librarian. I've been doing this work now for about 7 years. Before I became a librarian, I was an educator working with primary age children. But a lot of the work that I do involves promoting children's literature, specifically Black children's literature. I do that with my work as a librarian during the day, but I also have the privilege of working as the chief maker and education director for a book subscription box called Just Like Me that sends out books to children ages 0 to 12 that are written by Black authors, and it's really exciting work, and I'm happy to be here with you all.
Okay, so we will make sure that we post that information. I believe you shared that with us. We'll post that information on our Juno BAA Facebook page so that community can access that information. Backing up a little bit, you know, just trying to find out a little bit about you, what is your favorite genre of books?
I really have two favorite genres that I love. I grew up loving poems and short stories. I write poetry myself. I love poems. So I'm really into Nikki Giovanni and Maya Angelou, even some contemporary poets like Alexandra L. She's one of my favorites, Mahogany Brown. But another genre that I really enjoy reading is narrative nonfiction. And that kind of speaks to my love of stories. This is really hard to pick one.
That's fair. I can't limit myself either. What books do you enjoy reading as an adult?
So I like satire. I also like to see myself in books, so I kind of gravitate towards Black women writers, you know, because they are going to write from an experience that I can relate to. And then, of course, because of my love for just Black history, and I kind of have a nostalgic spirit to also read books that just talk about our history here in America and across the world.
Who are your favorite authors, and what aspects of their work are you most drawn to?
One of my absolute favorite authors is Bernice L. McFadden. She's pretty well known, but a lot of times when I talk to people, they don't really know her name. She's originally from Philadelphia, and she writes fiction for adults. And what I really like about her work is that she tends to pull in real events, either that are current or in history, and she incorporates it into these fiction stories. I read this book of hers once called The Book of Harlan. And the book is actually set during World War II. It's set in the States, and it also takes place overseas. And it's about jazz musician who gets like called to go to Europe to play jazz, which was a big thing, you know, during the 40s. And this man ends up in a concentration camp in Germany. When I read that book, first of all, it's a Black man that ends up in a concentration camp. That was a thing that really happened. I didn't know before reading Bernice McFadden. She led me, and she like tends to lead you on these journeys where you find out this information. She had also incorporated, you know, information about riots that had happened in Trenton at that time because a young Black male had been killed by a police officer. And so when I looked it up, sure enough, that was a real story. So I love reading her work. Poetry again. I love Nikki Giovanni. So You look at my bookshelf, I have several collections of poems by her. I just think that her perspective of the world is fascinating. I love listening to her talk too. And the last author that I'm really drawn to, who is sort of a new voice in the Black community, but definitely not someone that is going away anytime soon, is a young man by the name of Ta-Nehisi Coates. He wrote a book called Between the World and Me. Before that, he was a journalist. I believe he worked for the Associated Press. And he wrote a book, he published a book that was really a letter to his son, his Black son, just kind of telling him about the experiences of being Black man in America and some of the things you may encounter as a Black man here in America and around the world. And it was a really important read. Toni Morrison even said that before she passed, she had read that book, and she is quoted on the front as saying that this is a really important read. He's a really important voice for the Black community, and he talks a lot about our issues and the things that are really important to us and concern us. And I don't know if you all have seen the newest Vanity Fair issue that's coming out in September. He actually is the special editor. So nice. If you see it on the shelf, get it. Breonna Taylor's on the cover. I got a chance to see a lot of the internal images and articles, and he did a fascinating job. I haven't been able to read it cover to cover, but he's definitely someone that I gravitate to. When I hear his name, I automatically want to know what he's doing and read his work.
So it sounds like you have a lot of variety in what you like to read. Yeah. Is it safe to guess that you're an avid reader?
I am definitely an avid
reader. Okay, so what inspired this love of books?
Yeah, you know, I was a pretty quiet and reserved kid growing up. So I was that child who liked to be in my room by myself, doing things that I could do independently. And reading was one of those things. So my mother helped to foster that. She would buy me books for Christmas because that's what I wanted. My sister and brother wanted video games and bicycles, you know, and toys, and I wanted books, which my mother loved because those were cheaper than the video games. But my mom was also a storyteller. My mother would sit me and my siblings down sometimes when we were kids, and she would just tell us these stories, you know, that she heard when she was growing up. They were always funny. Sometimes they were scary and funny. And so I just grew up really loving stories, and that just kind of influenced my thirst to want to read more. And it just, I've carried that with me my whole life. So I have my mom to really thank for that.
Was she an avid reader too?
She wasn't. Which is so funny.
That is so awesome.
So much. She was not an avid reader. My mom is a writer though. She she has been a writer. She writes plays, and so I guess they're connected in a way. So yeah, she was an avid music lover though, singer and all that stuff around the house. So it's funny that she was not an avid reader.
I think that's really amazing when parents can convey or inspire their kids to learn or love to read, you know, even if they're not engaged in that activity themselves. What do you recall reading as a child?
Oh, wow. Well, I remember most of what I read from my middle school and high school years, which would be, I think every girl was kind of reading Nancy Drew, even though I didn't know until I became a librarian that Nancy Drew was actually around when my mom was a kid. Yeah, I was reading reprints of Nancy Drew, and they're reprinting them again. So Nancy Drew has survived generations upon generations. So I read Nancy Drew, Sweet Valley Twins, you know, like those very like, you know, suburban, everybody's doing the right thing all the time kind of life books.
I was going to say, what about the Babysitter's Club? Because you're bringing back some memories.
I read that one too, yeah.
I didn't read them as much, interestingly enough, but that was a big thing when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And those are other books that's another series that has just survived. And they even have made graphic novels some of the titles. Yeah, some of the titles from that time. Yeah, so they're not going anywhere. Sweet Valley Twins, I haven't seen those being reprinted, but Nancy Drew and the Babysitter's Club did.
That is, I love hearing about longevity of stories too, that I loved, you know.
Yeah.
Were you interested in any books written by Black writers in high school?
Oh my gosh, yes. The high school that I went to was in a small town that Zora Neale Hurston actually lived for the latter years of her life in. She's actually, the home that she lived in was turned into a museum not long ago. And her gravesite is in this town. And so the high school I went to named the library after her. And I was so interested in reading Zora Neale Hurston, but her books were deemed a little too edgy for a high school student, I guess. I don't think so now that I'm an adult, but I really did want to read Zora Neale Hurston. I was really curious about the work that she had done when I was in high school.
It's always interesting to see what literature and what books schools want to ban, which we'll touch on a little bit. What books or stories or authors do you wish you'd had a chance to discover and read as a child or a young person?
You know, when I was a young person, I learned later in life that there were these fabulous Black authors that were writing work, like Virginia Hamilton, Patricia McKissick. Neither of those people are with us anymore, but they were writing children's books. When I was a young child, I don't know those names. I don't remember any stories written by those women. There are also stories that a Black male author was writing, more so when I was in junior high and high school, named Walter Dean Myers. He's an award-winning author. He passed some years ago. His son is also a writer and an illustrator. Never heard of his work when I was a young person. And I really wish that I had discovered those stories, because I think it would have added some value to, well, added value to my life, but I also helped my self-esteem to see myself in stories. So yeah, I would have loved to have discovered those authors when I was a young person versus when I became an adult in a librarian.
Yeah. Why do you think it's so important for us to see ourselves in books, particularly why do you think it's important for students and children, Black children, but children in general, to see Black characters represented in books and the Black experiences represented in books?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of schools are diverse, right? And we have educators that are diverse as well. And when we work in a school with Black children, I think that it's important that they see themselves represented in the curriculum across the board, you know, not just in literature, but of course in social studies and history and science and all those things. But I think that when Black people are represented in the curriculum, when we're showing important figures and we're talking about moments in history, and we're also just promoting and telling children about realistic fiction or books that present Black people in a positive light, I think that it helps to build positive images that are important for them to see, especially if those images are relatable. I think that all of that is kind of connected to our self-worth and how we see ourselves in the context of the entire world. So I think it's really important that we as educators make sure that all of the children that we are teaching are seeing themselves in the curriculum that we're presenting to them. I think it's really important that we do that.
Right. Yeah. Definitely agree with that.
What literature about the Black experience or by Black authors do you think would engage students, middle schoolers, and high schoolers?
High schoolers seem like they're tough. They're not that tough.
They're not.
If you can find what I experienced as a kid and what I learned as an educator and a librarian is that a kid is not going to want to read a book more often when they don't see themselves in literature. I mean, if you don't see yourself, if you don't see the things you've experienced or that you can relate to in a book, why would you want to read that book? And I have seen that happen with young people. If you don't see yourselves in literature, at some point you might feel like, well, it's not for me because I don't see myself. So I think that when you're talking about high school students, there are some great authors that are doing work, that are writing fiction that includes the Black experience, realistic Black experiences of a very well-known author, is Jason Alexander. He does a great job of having Black, young Black males as the main character in his books. There's also Nick Stone, who does a mixture of both. Sometimes her characters are Black males, sometimes they're girls. Renee Watson, I don't know if you've ever heard of her, but she actually grew up in Portland, Oregon, in a very small Black community. And so her world was kind of filled with not really seeing a lot of images of herself in literature. So she grew up making sure that she did that for young people. There are a couple of other authors. Angie Stone wrote The Hate U Give, which is a very popular book. So Tiffany D. Jackson. There are authors who are writing relatable stories about young people. And their stories are kind of like right now, things that kids can relate to right now. And I think that that's something that we can use to engage high school students, if they can see things that they can really relate to. I mean, Angie Thomas also wrote, I like music too. Angie Thomas wrote a book called On the Come Up. And it's this book about a teenager. I think she's a 16-year-old girl who wants to be a hip-hop star when she grows up. And I believe she likes Biggie. And I know in The Hate U Give, Tupac was a big figure in that book. Well, Angie Thomas grew up loving those hip-hop artists. So I think young people can kind of relate, you know, especially if that's something that they're into. So yeah, I think you just have to find what they like and make sure that they're represented in the stories that you're sharing with them.
This is such an amazing conversation that we're having. And I think it's a good time for us to just pause for a moment for a quick commercial break, and we will be right back with you.